Hi, Scott Johnson here, reminding you that you can support shows like The Boop Show and other content on the Frog Pants Network by simply going to patreon.com/frogpants. It's that easy, and you can help this show survive and thrive. That's patreon.com/frogpants, and thanks. This is The Boop Show, episode 173 for Monday, May 14th, 2018, with Scott and Brian. Yeah. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to The Boop Show. You know it's one because, well, if you're watching the video, you're seeing Brian Dunaway dance. And that's always a thrill.
I was moshing. A mosh of one, please.
Was that what that was? What if you want to crowd surf and you're all by yourself? What do you do?
That's painful. I usually just do pickup change when I'm by myself. You do that? Pickup change?
What's that?
I never pick up change when you're doing the mosh pit.
No.
And in there? Oh yeah, it is. I can't show it on the camera because I literally have to reach down to the floor. My camera doesn't go down that far, but yeah, you throw your hands down like you're picking up change, and you pull them back up, and you throw them down, and woo!
Really, that's a thing?
Yeah.
I've never heard of this. And this is, people do this at concerts and stuff?
Mosh pits? I don't know if they do it anymore, but back when I was a youngin', we was picking up change.
Never heard of that in my life. That's a dance move, or whatever you want to call it, that I am not familiar with. But I am familiar with the following program. That is The Boop Show, bringing you the video game highlights of our week, and we're doing it now. Welcome back, baby. Hope you all had a nice Mother's Day and all your moms got cool stuff and everything else. Let's dive right in. So I have had a pretty busy week. I had server problems, issues.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it meant some podcast people couldn't get the shows. Some people couldn't get the comics. Some people couldn't get all of it. Some people could get all of it, and it never changed for them. Just a big, messy DNS thing, and I think we're good now, although there's still some stuff that has to happen, but it shouldn't interrupt anyone's service. As a result, though, it was kind of bonker bananas around here, and I haven't had the time I'd like to finish some stuff, like, I don't know, God of War.
The
old man Kratos and the boy. I got to get back to that, and I haven't had two dimes to rub together to make 20 cents, which is not... Is that even a phrase? I don't know if it is. Might be. Anyway, here's the point. I got some time in. So we'll talk about what I did play. It wasn't a lot, but it was a little bit. Brian, what do you know about Tiny Bubbles? Oh, he's frozen. That's what you like. Yeah, you're back, though. That's an important thing. I don't know what that was. You froze and you just smiled at me the whole time.
I don't know what was. I could feel it going down. Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, God of War is the last thing you said.
I said God of War. I haven't had time for it. So instead, I dipped my feet into something called Tiny Bubbles. Brian, when you say Tiny Bubbles, what do you think of? What's the first thought in your head?
Well, first of all, I think they do the work so I don't have to.
Oh, got it. The ones that clean your tub and all that.
Right, right. Okay. So you don't have to.
Yeah, no, that's good. That's good. I also think of the song Tiny Bubbles, right? That one.
Right, right. And also, more recently, not too much of a spoiler, but I think of Thanos.
Oh, Thanos, the Mad Titan, they call him.
Yeah, yeah. There's a reality stone, right?
Sure.
That's something. Yeah.
That's a thing. Wait, yeah. Why did Tiny Bubbles remind? Oh, we don't want to say. I know why.
No, I mean, well, it's not like a spoiler. It's not like, oh, no, I can't believe you spoiled.
Hold on. Okay, we're back. Sorry, that glitched out because I don't know why my software went weird. What were you saying?
I think we were talking about
tiny buttholes. Oh, tiny buttholes.
I was given spoilers for the Avengers, which is not really spoilers.
Oh, right. Yeah. Thanos makes some bubbles. It's not a spoiler. It's just, a thing he does. So Tiny Bubbles is this game that is available on 3 platforms. Currently it is available on Steam. It's available on iOS and it's available on Android. Kind of simultaneously released on all 3, as best I can tell. I got the PC version. Normally, I'm not real big on talking about mobile games here. We'll do it here and there. But the main reason I'm bringing it up is I think it's actually a better PC game than it is on mobile. I don't know. You could make an argument that it's actually better on mobile, given the kind of game that it is. But it just feels like a cut above your average mobile game. And it's 100% pay for, $2.99. What?
Is this a fishing game?
No, this is not a fishing game. So Tiny Bubbles is a puzzle game, and it's this trippy little puzzle game. I don't know how to describe it very well, except to say that you got these bubbles, see?
there's these bubbles, see? And you have to pop them, I bet. Am I getting close?
You're close. I'll tell you what. I'll show the chat room a little bit.
Do they have astrological signs inside the bubbles?
They have asshole logical signs.
Astrological.
That's the one. Let me turn the volume off on this. Okay, here you go. Chat room, you guys can see some of this while it's playing. This is actually, it looks like somebody's playing on a tablet, but it'll give you the same idea. So Tiny Bubbles is this game. Very beautiful, very, very well-made, beautiful sort of game. In this game, you have these different unlockable puzzles, these zones of puzzles. I'm very early in it, so I'm not nearly as far as some of these people. Like the one they're looking at right now is kind of complicated, but you have to pop all the bubbles that you can. For the most part, most of the bubbles, the puzzles are to mix colors and create something of the same color so that those bubbles will collapse on themselves and disappear. It's hard to explain, but it's a riot. Aww. It's really fun, really mind-bending, and gorgeous, and very well made.
And I just tried to install it. Tiny Bubbles Unreleased by Pine Street Codeworks. Yeah. It's a puzzle game.
Yeah.
I just tried to install it, and it says, sorry, buddy, the early access program is currently full. Space may open later. Good luck.
Sorry, is this still on early access on Steam, you're saying?
Oh, no, it was on the Google Play Store.
Oh, I have no idea. I can get it on iOS and just pay for it, so I don't know why.
Oh, you know, I'm sure pay for it, but it looks like it was free.
They may have had some early. They probably had some testing period or something over there. I don't know. But the PC version is just, you just up and pay for it. The iOS version, you just buy it. It's not like there's any free-to-play crap in here. And it's good. It just feels like you're messing around with bubbles. And the bubbles are all colors and stuff, and some of the goals are harder than other goals. Like, well, we just need a bunch of blue bubbles. Okay, well, let's get all the blue ones together, and then when they all get together, they'll make all the other bubbles pop, and then later there's more complicated things that happen. Chat rooms right now is looking at these weird stars that are in the bubbles. That's something I haven't gotten to yet. You can mix colors. It's super weird, but real good.
It looks relaxing.
It is very relaxing. Here's some of the sound. Oh, see? Oh, yeah. Oh, that's good stuff there. And it is that. It's relaxing is a great word for it. Very chill. There's this little fish fishing around all the time while you're doing this. It's kind of annoying because I don't know what he's there for, but he's like a little fish just watching you. And it's something else. It's really nice. $10 on Steam. I didn't mention the price. $10 on Steam.
$10?
Yeah, and $2.99 on mobile. Which is,
why such a discrepancy in pricing? You ever ask yourself that? Why so cheap? Is it just the competition flat out? Is that what the difference is?
Yeah, I think the platform will only bear so much, and I think people are used to mobile games being really cheap, and if it's more than that, they will be less likely to buy it. Now, that doesn't mean they won't sell them for more. There's certainly premium games that are $8, $10, $12, in some cases $40 for like Civ 6 is that much on there.
for like Peggle. What?
Yeah.
I wouldn't pay $50 for Peggle.
Well, see, here's the thing. You do what the market will bear. PC players are used to paying more. Mobile people are used to paying less. And even if it's the exact same experience, even if the mobile game is a better experience,
right,
people are gonna still rather pay $3.
I, you know, as dumb as it may sound, I kind of agree, because I'm kind of like, I'm not paying all that for looking at that on my little bitty screen. What's that, like, 8-inch screen I got there? That's no good. I need me a, you know, if you're going to sell me something, it's got to be, you know, screen relative pricing.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
It does make sense. I completely agree.
Yeah. I don't know why I think that. That's just my hang up.
Well, it's okay to think that, but it's a neat little game. I recommend it. I'm not very far, but far enough to know I like it. Tiny Bubbles, not buttholes.
Teeny bubbles.
Little bubbles.
Do you ever, you know, you get through eating, you know, the spaghetti and the meatballs, and you go lay in the bed and you get the little tiny bubbles and you get that?
Mm-hmm. You're not the only one, sure.
All right.
You know why, don't you?
Is it pasta?
No, I don't know why. I have no idea. I think just everybody farts. There's a whole book called Everybody Farts. Or is it Everybody Poops?
I think it's Everybody Poops. Oh. I don't think there's Everybody Farts. Is there one of those
there
as well?
There should be one that says Everybody Farts and then Everybody Poops.
What about Everybody Games? Does anyone have that?
No. Everyone is gamey. That one exists.
Right. Oh, that's
anyway,
probably true.
So that's a great game, and you should play it, Brian. Tell me about Middle Earth Shadow of Mordor. Why are you playing the old one? This is the old one.
Exactly. So as you know, I've been playing a lot of Humble Bundle games lately. And last year, near the end of the year, they offered the Shadow of War, yep. Middle Earth Shadow of War, which is the new one, mm-hmm. Came out 2017 sometime. I should have picked it up, but I didn't.
Well, the first one came out in
2014 or so, I believe.
14, yeah, that is correct.
Yeah, so it's a little older. So I bought the bundle that was supposed to have Shadow of War, but I didn't pay enough money, and then I realized later, crap, I meant to get the big bundle, which was like $35, and so I was like, well, how about I just wait until War goes on sale, because I've heard some good things, and I want to play it, and I was looking through, and I was like, oh, crap, I have Shadow of Mordor, and I have 0 hours played on Steam. I'm like, how did I miss that?
How'd you miss that game? That game is great. Yeah, it's real good.
And so I totally missed out somewhere or another. I purchased Middle Earth Shadow of Mordor somewhere along the lines, and I did not do it. And by the way, I keep calling it Shadows of Mordor. I know it's the Shadow of Mordor. I can't help it.
I know. But it makes you want to say, too, there's more shadows than one. I get it.
Right. So, look, it's actually a good thing because I've seen Shadow of Mordor coming up for sale in a lot of places. And when I mentioned on Twitter, a bunch of other people said, yeah, for some reason I missed that game, too. And I've started playing again. So I'm not the only person in this boat. It seems to be a lot of people.
It was a big hit, though. It was a huge hit at the time. So
must have been something. What else was out at that time? Because I think there was one of those situations where it was like, okay, November 2014. I got a couple of games I got to pick up, and is it going to be this, or is it going to be Shadow of Mordor? And I think whatever that was, won out.
Yeah, must have for you. But anyway, so what do you think? Do you like it?
It's a big regret, because if you haven't played it, it's still a good game. Don't let the 2014 scare you. It's still a very modern and really good game. I've liked it so far. I don't know how I feel about being Talion, the outside kind of character, because you don't play as your regular roles of characters, right? In these games, you don't get to go and play as, oh, look at me, I'm Frodo. You know, this is more like,
yeah, you're not picking a class. You're a dude. You're a dude. This is his story, exactly.
Yeah, this is Talion's story. I'm a ranger, mm-hmm. right? And no spoiler here. Happens very early in the game. Bummer. My family was taken. Mm-hmm. And I am being rejected from death, right?
Yeah.
So you're like, you die, but it goes, nope, you shall not pass. You got stuff to do. You're going to hang out here and kill orcs. No, they're not orcs. There's something else. What are they called? They're called Kulus. What are they called? Can you remember?
Orakai. They're not called Kulus.
They're called Orakai Kulus.
No, they're not. There's nothing like that. It's not Orakai. It's not Kulus.
They're not. They're actually. All right. So this takes place between The Hobbit and The Lord of the Rings. And so there's like, instead of orcs, you're fighting against, oh my God, the Uruk army.
Uruk.
Which is Sauron's army. And so. At first, I was kind of disappointed. I was like, I'm going to have to fight in this outside fringe BS, Rogue Squadron 1 outside the storyline crap. But you know what? God, it is a lot of fun.
Oh, it's awesome. There's nothing wrong with this. Nothing wrong with this.
I got blown away because I had never heard of and never played the Nemesis system.
Oh, it's amazing.
And it's an amazing system. If you don't know what it is, here it is. It's basically procedurally generated bad guys, all the way down from their names to their stats, everything. It's just if you're out in the field somewhere and playing against a group of bad guys and one guy gets away, next thing you know, he becomes your nemesis because he's gonna figure out a way to destroy you, right?
Yep. He looks at you and goes, "Oi, Ranger, I seen your face before. Oh, I did it. That's the whole thing.
It really is. But it's got some really neat kind of, it's really clever. It blows my mind how they could procedurally generate these bad guys with specific weaknesses and specific strengths and these great names. I think of, who am I fighting against right now? My primary nemesis, who every time I turn around, I'll be in a fight and Zog Metalbeard shows up. So that was his generated name, Zog Metalbeard. And every time I'm in the middle of a fight, I'll be ever doing something, he'll goes, "Here you are, right, right." And then he'll, of course, he's killed me so many times.
Yeah, he's a bastard.
And the more they kill you, the stronger they get.
Also, so, they have sometimes they have like a big old eye patch on because last time you stabbed him through the eye, and he's like, "I remember when you did that to me." And he wants to fight you again. It's pretty great.
Yes, they keep all that stuff. Now, if you behead them, you get rid of them. But if you kill him, you think you killed him. You're like, he's down. I picked him up and I stabbed him through the neck. By the way, some of the finishing moves in this game is freaking awesome.
Oh,
it's
there's
like,
something else. Yeah.
And so, yeah, like you said, you know, you'll cut him in the eye and you think he's dead, but so how you know he's not really dead is if you go into the menuing system, you can fly up and it'll show the Sauron's army and you can see the connectivities between the different bad guys, and it starts at one level. There's captains, and then it goes up to like warlords and stuff, and they keep promoting themselves either by your action of failures or just fighting in general. They fight with each other, and sometimes they'll advance that way. But you'll if you pull it up and you mouse over a dead Uruk, if you mouse over top of him and nothing happens, like there's just nothing there, then he's good. You're dead. He's killed. He's off the board. You did it. Good job. But if he lights up, but you can't see any information about him, but he's laying there, that guy might come back.
Yeah. I like when the dude voices over and goes, the elf guy that's half of you now, Ranger, this is where I saw the little monkey before or whatever. And there's something about that relationship between him and the ghostly ring maker guy.
Yeah,
I always loved in that game. So good.
You ever get? You know, you've got two different worlds because you're straddling the lines between living and the dead, and you're walking along, but you've also got the dead guy who's kind of like inside you. Is it intentional sometimes? Because sometimes I'll be like sneaking around somewhere, and all of a sudden, you know, my arm will kind of like ghost out. It's like he's like right there with you. Like
he's with you all the time. He's basically possessing you in some way.
Possessing you, exactly.
I kind of forget how they describe that. Here, by the way, is a friend of the program, Liam O'Brien, doing the best Gollum impression you'll ever hear. Here you go. Right here. He's going to talk.
Nice.
Come on, Gollum.
Think you could sneak up on me so easily, eh?
No, don't hurt us. Ask
what does he know?
Dude, he does an incredible Gollum.
Was that from Shadow of Mordor?
That's from the game, yeah.
Can I say something right now? I'm so mad. I am so mad.
What?
I'm so mad at my family for... Okay, sorry, family, but I'm mad at you. Okay. Because I'm playing the game... And the thing about this procedurally generated environment of things constantly growing, if something happens and someone comes up and distracts you and they play that cutscene, you can't get back to that cutscene. That cutscene's just gone.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I was so mad because I was playing along and I was doing okay. I was about maybe 3 or 4% into the game progress in the general game progress, and somebody come and started asking me a question right after I killed Uruk, and I took my headphones like, "Hey, what's that?" And out of the corner of my eye, I saw a Gollum pop up, and I'm like, "Oh, what's going on?"
Yeah,
and I tried to get my headphones back on, but it was too late.
You'll hear him again. He's in a bunch of this. You're not done with him.
Good.
Yeah,
because I struggled so bad. I even started over. I was like, "Oh, dadgummit, I can't miss any of the cutscenes." So this is like one of those games where you have to stay engaged just about the entire time.
When I first played, I was like, "Oh my gosh, I can't believe they got Andy Serkis to do the voice. That's awesome.
Cool."
And then Liam's like, "Nope, that's me."
That sounds amazing. I can't wait to get back to that scene. So I've got high hopes for Shadow of War.
Yeah.
I've read that the reviews are more mixed on it. This Shadow of Mordor seem to have all, you know, over the, just across the board positive things. So I'm a little curious and a little worried that War has screwed up a few things that may have been good. Have you played War yet?
Yeah, a little. I own it. Yeah. I haven't gotten too far. Like, people like Patrick love it and rave right. about it and never shut up about it. And then there are people I talk to who really were put off by the end game in that game, which requires a lot of grinding and stuff. But I'll bet, this is my thinking, I'll bet outside of all the hype window of microtransactions, I can't believe it, EA sucks, and all that talk, I'll bet you this game's better than people think. Right. Or and people who played it will tell you that it was great because they had a really good time with it. But it had a weird rap when it came out. Nonetheless, I do intend at some point to get back to it.
Right. I intend to finish up here and then move on to War. Hopefully I won't be totally burned out, but I predict I'll probably play this completely through, load up War, play it for 20 minutes and go, I'm so bored of doing the same darn thing. I'm ready to do something else. We'll see.
Yeah. I don't know if I'd go back to back. If you go back to back, you're probably going to get yourself in trouble because that's
probably so.
With any game and sequel, if you're playing that much, you're probably going to burn a little.
Which is kind of sad because Shadow of War is starting to show up on sales in a lot of places. So maybe I should just stop Mordor and just jump right into War. What do you think?
You long spent your money, so
if you yeah.
Yeah, and whatever it was probably cheap because I know you too well. There's no way you paid full price for that game.
Heck no, man. Look, for that level of game, I am willing to pay upwards of $39.99.
Okay, that's all right. We need a not a cheap gamer, but we need a price conscious guy who can find the deals. Like, you're great about letting me know. Do you see this thing on the Humble Bundle? Go check it out.
Absolutely.
Like, I love that. One of us needs to do that. And I'm not that guy.
So, and if not me, then you would see these crazy game prices. You're welcome. I'm the anchor, keeping all this stuff honest.
Yeah. If not for you, then who? If not now, then when? If not games, then what?
But I will say this. I am enjoying the crap out of that game, and it really held me over until I picked up God of War finally yesterday. I've already played it. I rented it. We've talked about it on the show before, but I turned it back in, and I was like, I'm going to give it a week or two just to see if, you know, if I really want to get back into it and really want to purchase it, and I couldn't take it anymore. I was like, got to get it.
Plus, you'd already, the rental time you'd spent went toward your money, so you're good.
Right, I'm good. So it's all good.
That's fantastic. I want to tell you about another new game. This is Pillars of Eternity.
Pillows of Eternity, and you're saying it weird, or is it pillars like the giant?
Pillars like the big structural device things that you would hold up something with. So
not
pillars.
Not like Pillows of Eternity where you take a really long nap.
No, although that sounds freaking great. But gotcha. That's not what it is. So it's Pillars of Eternity. This is a game made by Obsidian Entertainment. Mm-hmm. Nothing to do with our old Palo. Years ago, it was a big deal because they were one of the biggest money-grabbing Kickstarters ever for video games. That sounds negative. One of the biggest earners on Kickstarter for a new video game from a studio. And people like these guys. They've been around doing stuff forever. They made my favorite version of Fallout universe. I love Fallout New Vegas. That was them.
Yes.
So they have a big pedigree for me. I really like Obsidian, and they did this, and it's called Pillars of Eternity 2 Deadfire. It is actually a direct sequel to the first game. It is 100% voice. Listen to this.
Hours fractured your memories. Look upon these cards. They represent the courses of your life.
All right, so it's a lot of that kind of, you know, stuff. I mean, if you're not familiar with the first game, it's very Baldur's Gate, that kind of top-down thing. It's a big 3D engine and stuff, and it's all modern in that sense, so it's not like Baldur's Gate in that way, but it's Baldur's Gate in terms of you can pause the action, queue up your actions. It works a lot like D&D. You got a couple of spell slots. There's tweaks here and there, but it's basically a D&D top-down adventure without the actual D&D system. Right. License or whatever. And the first one was really good. I thought it had an awesome story. It had some cool stuff to do. I feel like in the long haul, though, it was a little bit short on exciting moments and sort of gameplay tweaks that would have made it really shine. But it was a good game. And it sold really well. So Pillars of Eternity 1 on PC did really well. It was a strong outing for them. So much so that 2 is here without any Kickstarter. They just funded it and did it themselves.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's good. It is, you know, build a party of people. Once again, Liam's in my party. Liam O'Brien's in every game you play. I'm just sorry this is the way it is. Just every game you play, Troy Baker, Liam O'Brien, and half a dozen other dudes are in every game you're playing. Even the guys that just go, oh, those guys, you know, those guys are always in things. So he's a little furry, little pirate guy that hangs around me in this. I just added him to my team not long ago. But what sets this game apart is it's kind of a pirate game. By that, I mean, it's still, you know, very fantasy driven. It's mages and wizards and rangers and, you know, all that stuff, ciphers and healers and stuff. But it's set in a place in this world where you're kind of an archipelago. How do you say that? Archipelago.
Yeah, I think
collection
I got it right
of islands,
last time.
Collection of islands, like broken up continent islands, where your job is to swing around these islands, find these quests, do these jobs, get to the island, explore those islands, take their the things that they have for your own, survive, get food and water, that sort of stuff. And missions, you get there on your ship to do missions. You also sometimes have encounters with other ships, and you have to do ship-to-ship combat. Sometimes it's just on the ground, regular old party inside of a dungeon talking to a ghost man kind of stuff. Like it's sort of got all those fantasy tropes, but kind of wedged into this kind of pirate thing.
Right.
And you got your own ship and it, you know, needs to be maintained. So you're having to spend a little bit of your money on maintenance and that sort of stuff. It's not a sim and it's not like a survival game. I don't want to freak anybody out because I don't even like those two other things I just said. I like, I just want an RPG. What it feels more like is, did you play Mass Effect 1, 2, or 3, Brian?
2.
2? Okay, yeah. So you played 2. That's
I played the best one.
No, that is the best one. And I'll say that 2 is a good example because 2, the ship, what was it called? The Armada, the...
Yeah.
No.
Why does that sound right?
Mar-mar-mar.
It's something like Armada, though. Wait a minute.
The Durango, right. Flamingo, the Dong, ding, do. What is it?
Well, let's not going to get it. Wait.
It's Normandy. It's the Normandy.
The Normandy.
It's nothing like Durango.
It's nothing like Durango.
Anyway, the Normandy is like your hub, really. It's a ship, but it's mostly kind of your place to collect your stuff and talk to your NPCs and get some story going, but also where's our next mission and how do we get there? This game uses the pirate ship for kind of that, and I really like it. It feels great to have this kind of moving central location. It's basically a moving home base or a moving guild hall.
I was kind of wanting a pirate kind of thing, and I had forgotten I had played Assassin's Creed Black Flag.
Oh, Black Flag!
I didn't list it.
That's a great game.
I didn't list it. I didn't have much luck at it. But
what do you mean not much luck at it?
I don't doubt it's a great game. I didn't have the fun I thought I'd have. It failed me for some reason. I don't know if I just wasn't in the mood or I've had it for a while. It's another one of those games that's been in my, you know, did I get it free for something? Maybe that's the reason why I don't like it. Cause I got it free.
Oh, but you don't value it. Cause you didn't get it because you didn't pay for it.
Maybe so.
That's one of the best ones. Like of all the Assassin's Creeds. I mean, I wouldn't call it an RPG, but of all the Assassin's Creeds, that's in my top 3. I love that.
Really?
One. Oh, yeah.
It's funny because I've played other Assassin's Creed and I liked them better and I didn't like the Black Flag for some reason. I felt like maybe we was in the... I felt like it kept dropping back out into the real world too much.
Right.
I was like, I want to be a pirate. Stop dropping me out in the real world. I don't want to see this. Let's get back to the piracy.
Right. Well,
I want to get back into there.
I wonder how you'd feel with this one because it's definitely a top-down CRPG. It's a computer RPG. It's like a straight-up Baldur's Gate, Icewind Dale, more recent examples like the original Sin game, stuff like that. Like, that's what this is.
Mm.
So, that's what you're getting into. Now, even though it has all those trappings, this pirate bit has really added something to it for me. And I'm way into it. Now, I'm told I'm at the beginning, you know, I'm in the first 10 hours of a very, very long game.
Oh,
and that makes sense. We expect that from these. We want big, fat you know, experiences. The size of this thing is outrageous. It is, hold on a second, 42.
Did you get the deluxe edition?
No, no, no. It's just normal. 42 gigabytes just in for the game. Right. It is clear that most of that is VO because there is a ton of voice work. And I really appreciate that because imagine in the Baldur's Gate days, you get some dialogue trees and those were fine. And they kind of, you talk to the dudes and say, okay, cool. I want to go do a thing for you or whatever. And all your options are there. And usually you got to read all that yourself.
Right.
Right. So whatever the lady's saying and I'm the dude or whatever, and I got to answer, I have to, you know, I still got to read my responses, my 1 through 4 responses, but usually you have to read her stuff too. And it's hard to like get her in character because it's just in your imagination, right? It's just text on a page. All right. This stuff is VO. Everybody who says
endeavor, indeed, castle or no castle, you are still my lady and I will aid you to the best of my ability.
Now, to me, she said, you're still my captain because I'm a dude, not a lady. So she had to have all this variation. It's really good. It's really, right. Really good. And the VO is fantastic. A bunch of those Critical Role VO actors are in it, including Liam.
I've been stabbing.
Awesome. Love it.
I've been stabbing all around this game, apparently, because I'd also forgot I did load up Baldur's Gate Enhanced Edition because last month they released a beta update.
Yeah.
Do you have the Enhanced Edition?
I do. Not of 2, but of 1.
Right. And so I loaded it. Well, this is the first one, Baldur's Gate.
No, you just had the first one. Okay.
Yeah. And so I loaded it up as well and played it for like a whopping 5 minutes and was like, I got to do something better with my time.
Well, and, I mean, it's old, right? Like,
old, but it was good.
It was amazing in its day. And these games definitely owe their lives to it. There's no question.
Right.
But it's, you know, it's getting a little long in the tooth. And there's some VO in those games, but it's not nearly what they can do today. So If you felt like Pillars of Eternity 2 didn't have enough VO, and it didn't, I mean, there were moments where you just had lots of text and nobody said anything, then you're going to really like this because they've completely flipped that script and everybody talks. Every NPC you talk to, every teammate, every scenario is somebody voicing it and doing it really well. And the narrator in this is awesome. I'm pretty sure it's, I always forget her name. She's the blonde one from Critical Role. She's in that TV show where she plays a scientist. She played the girl.
I'm Googling it now. Blonde one.
Last of Us.
Critical Role.
She played the main girl in Last of Us. I can't think of her freaking name. Anyway.
Blonde to Critical Role. Ashley Johnson?
Ashley Johnson, that's it. I'm pretty sure that's her doing the narration bits.
I can't believe I found that by literally looking up Blonde in Critical Role. Okay.
Yeah, you said clitical, and that's trouble.
But I was a slip.
Yeah, that was as big a slip.
Bring it in bottoms yet.
Oh, sorry.
That was another slip.
Listen to this guy.
Is that you?
Is it Shrek?
Hold on, I'm going to click this guy. Click him. Okay, I'm not playing, but I'm watching
you
this.
You walk just in time for the fun. Fighting off motherless raiders one moment. Flung into the freezing depths of Andra's bosom the next.
Okay, so you can see why I like this. And they're all talking, everybody.
Yeah.
So no matter who you talk to, they'll drop what they're doing and go, hey, what are you doing, you bastard? Yarr. I mean, they don't all talk like pirates, but...
Right.
Anyway, it's good. You should get it.
I'm peeping this right now. That's right, I'm going to use an old term. I'm peeping this on Razer.com. They have a game store.
Wait a minute. When was peeping it ever a thing? What are you talking about?
It wasn't. You know, I was going to peep this. You've heard that term, right?
No. Never in my life has anyone said I'm going to peep this.
All right. Okay. So, all right. So anyway. So the Razer game store.
Yeah.
Yo, peep this, yo. The Razer game store. Yeah, that's the mouse and keyboard guys. Yeah. They have this on sale for $39.99, which is the cheapest I could find anywhere.
Yeah, it's brand new. It just came out less than a week ago. So
I shouldn't wait. I should.
I mean, I don't know. You got to tell me. You'd have to tell me if you like these kinds of games or not. Because for people who don't, I don't think there's going to be something here that's going to change your mind. But if you like a big, expansive story, you like D&D style role play, that kind of stuff, you're going to love this.
I'm wanting something with pirates in it.
Well, that definitely is. There are pirates in this.
Yar.
I haven't done a ship to shipper yet, but my understanding is there's everything from shooting cannonballs, you know, like you'd expect. But
yeah,
also, they'll board your ship and you can fight. But these fights are still, you can pause them, think about what spells and skills you want to use. There's the whole leveling up system. You level up your party, you tell your guys whatever. There's a great selection of difficulties. So it starts at kind of story mode and works all the way up to some kind of hell mode. And so you'll find, you know, your happy difficulty level, and you can change it anytime. Like, it's a modern game in all those ways, but it's just got this great classic kind of top-down RPG thing that I love. So I'm into it.
It sounds good, and I'm going to go ahead and post a link from Urban Dictionary in the chat room, because they're peeping this right now, trying to figure out what I'm talking about. Check this out.
Let's see. Peep. Let's read it.
Peep this.
I'm going to read it to everybody. It says, peep. Peep this. Check this out. Or here's, so check this out is the definition. The usage is, yo, or one of the use cases, yo, houses, peep this.
And this is from 2003, so that's why I said I got to bring it back.
Okay, there's another one. Peep this, to get someone to listen. Aight, son, peep this. Shauna and Ray was with each other last night. All right,
so we'll just let that go.
The further you go down, the more trouble you get into on Urban Dictionary. Have you noticed that?
Yes, I've noticed that a lot.
By the way, GERP, G-E-R-P.
Right.
Still has this definition, GURP, the best orc hunter of all time in World of Warcraft.
What?
GURP killed a million mobs with one shot is the usage.
That's legendary.
It's in there.
I like it. And I just pulled that from How I Met Your Mother.
If you look at the second one down, though, don't read this one. I'll read it. GURP, to choke on one's testicles. Not kidding either. I'm not kidding.
GURP. Oh, yeah. GURP. That's the noise you make.
What have I done? Anyway,
oh my gosh.
I want to just say that game's great. All right, well, okay. And I'll keep playing it and kind of come back and let people know what I think. Brian, how is the flame in the flood?
Well, the flame in the flood, the flood in the flame, the flame in the flood.
Yeah,
you know me. We already talked about it. That's right. Once again, free game. They had this on the Humble Bundle this week. They were giving it away, literally giving it away, as long as you logged into your Humble Bundle account and activated the game within a certain period. I did just that, and I've seen this game before and almost picked it up, but I had heard people complaining about not good replayability or maybe interest dropping off very quickly after playing. This is a survival adventure game.
It's kind of a roguelike, isn't it, a little bit?
It is a roguelike, mm-hmm. Indeed, and it's really unique, and it looks really good. It's kind of got this paper mache kind of look to it, the characters do.
Yeah.
It got some really deep, rich colors, a very good looking game. There's some people like the music. I think the music is a little sparse. I could do with a little bit more mood music. I like my atmospheric games. This game really fits into that atmospheric type game. So obviously
there it is a little bit. Looks like they're playing a
harmonica.
Oh, yeah, this is a harmonica.
A mouth harp.
I like mouth harps. That's cool. That's one way to go. So what's the goal? Get on the river and don't die.
You get out. Okay, so you woke up, and obviously you're on the river, and it's flooded because there's cars going down the river. There's houses in the river. It looks like right after the flood and Oh Brother, We're Out There, right?
Yeah.
So I'm not saying it's during that time period. I'm just saying it's kind of got a 50s kind of vibe to it, maybe. And so you start out and you got your little companion there. Aesop is who I picked. You can also pick another character as well. I don't really see any point, though, because they look like they were the same. Dog carries some stuff. You carry some stuff. You got a pretty good big bag for collecting resources as you go along. The first thing you do is you run around. You pick up some items for crafting to help you survive. And you jump on a raft, and that raft, man, that raft is the worst and the best part of the game.
It's the entire bit of game. It's all the gameplay, right?
Well, no. It's the in-between gameplay, because it helps you decide what's going to happen when you land on these randomly procedurally generated islands with things you'll need to collect.
Yeah.
So there's different types of land masses you can land on. Some of them have food. Some of them have other supplies, and if you look through your little keys, you can see what is on this, what could be on the island, and what you may need, because you have things like thirst, hunger, fatigue, and general poisoning, which is like if you get like poison. I got poison ivy a couple of times. And so you have to, it's a survival game. You got to live.
I don't like survival games. You know that, right? I hate
it. I know you don't, but this is almost on a peripheral edge of it. It is right almost to the adventure side for me. It's a little bit more like Don't Starve. You didn't really care for that much,
didn't
right?
Didn't like Don't Starve. I wish I did. My kids adored it and played it to death, and I could not get into Don't. And you know what? The guys who make Don't Starve, some of my favorite developers in the entire world. Invisible Ink is one of my favorite games ever.
Yes.
I love that game. I love what's that stealth ninja game called? Ninja something.
I think it's Stealth Ninja, isn't it?
No, it's something like that. Whatever it's called. They make incredible games. Their experiences are awesome.
Yes.
I just don't like a thing where I'm starving and going insane and have to pay attention
you
to
don't,
it.
You don't. Right. And you don't. The difference is Don't Starve feels a little bit rushed on your survival to me. I mean, it always feels like I'm like, I got to hurry survive. This game, I don't feel as urgent. At least in the little bit that I played, it still feels like I have plenty of time to screw myself over.
Okay.
But the raft parts, like I said, is a lot of fun because the river is constantly moving and pushing you in one direction. And there's forks in the river, just like you'd think. And so when you start approaching an area that has a cluster of different islands to land on, you have to make that decision pretty quickly which direction go into, because the river is flowing so fast that if you don't get into the area where you need to be to land on the pier that you need to get to, you're not going to make it. And she has the character you're playing as has maybe a good couple of good strong thrust she can send towards a certain area, but then her energy level goes way down and just real easy to miss where you're trying to land at.
I mean, I love how this looks. This looks amazing.
It is fantastic. It's for free. I'd actually consider picking this up a couple of times. I just never could because there's mixed reviews on it, and it's like some people love it and some people are kind of like, nah, if you just play a little further along, it kind of gets repetitive, and there's not but so far you can go, and it's just like the collection system, there's just not enough room in your bag. There's a lot of small complaints that just seems like it's almost there and could have been fixed, but just a little frustrating a little later on.
Maybe they want to make it hard. That's what a roguelike's about. That's what survival games are about.
Yes.
I don't know. The more you tell me about it, the more I realize it's probably a really good survival game, but less of a good roguelike, and that bums me out a little bit.
I'm not the roguelike. As a matter of fact, I was like, really? It's a roguelike? And I was like, I could see that. I said, yeah. But it was definitely survival. It definitely reeks of survival.
Well, if you start over, if you die and then you start over and you maybe have a little bit more than you have when you died,
you can choose both ways.
Then that's a roguelike, or that's at least roguelike qualities.
Right. You can choose that from the menu. You can choose to be more roguelike, or you can choose to be as true permadeath, hardcore, see you later, buddy.
Well, it seems neat. I'll have
it
to check it out.
It is neat. And like I said, I don't think, is it still going on the Humble Bundle? I don't know.
I don't know.
But I grabbed mine, and if you follow me on Twitter, I always let you know.
Do you?
I always let you know.
Do you really, though? Do you?
I do. Okay. I posted earlier this week. I said, don't miss out.
Don't forget the flood. Don't forget how to say Humble Bundle.
Do you
There you go. That's great. I'll tell you, got one more here to mention that's a kind of a big deal for me, and I don't know why. This is so dumb. I can't believe I even like this, honestly. Like, even just saying this is a little bit embarrassing.
Uh-huh.
It's called Bait.
Bait?
Yeah.
Bait.
It's called Bait, and it's a fishing game for the Oculus Go. Now, it's probably on Gear VR. It's probably on regular Oculus, for all I know. It's probably even on Steam. I don't even know. But since getting an Oculus Go, I have messed about with a bunch of free stuff in there. And by far and away, my favorite free game, like game. So it's not an experience necessarily. It's an actual video game where I have goals and things like that. Is this fishing game called Bait. And it's awesome. So I don't know how to explain this, except I'll just tell you how it works. You go in there and you're in these beautiful environments. Some of the best that the thing has shown me. Like, super immersive. I'm like, whoa, this is like a waterfall over here. And this beautiful, like, cove and all this. And I'm sitting in a chair with a rod, casting out to the water. And I use the little remote. Here it is right here. See this remote, everybody? This little remote that comes with the thing. It looks like a mouse. Like, literally like a mouse. Anyway, you take this thing. You click it. Throw it out there. When something catches, you can see it bobbing a little bit. Somebody catches it.
Is that your best fishing rod cast, by the way?
No, it's more like this.
FX.
Woo! Like that. And so you hook a fish, you bring him in, you got to struggle against him. If you struggle too long, he'll break the line. So you want to let up a little bit, let him swim out some. It's got that kind of fishing mechanic going on, right? The better line you get and the better bobbers you get, the easier it is to roll in the harder fish and that sort of stuff. So it's very much a fishing game. I wouldn't call it a sim by any stretch, but it's a fun mechanic. It feels good to fish. It doesn't feel like you're waiting forever. You cast it right where you see a bunch of shadows of fish in the water. The water's really cool in this game. You throw it right where it needs to go. You can kind of target it. And then one of them's going to get it, and it comes right away, and you're just kind of always catching fish. It's not like a slow experience. Right. And you catch these fish like this is some kind of weird cow fish, but what they've done is they've gone literal in the – normally if you heard, oh, it's a cow trout or something, you'd go, oh, it's probably a fish with some spots on it.
Right, right.
They go all out and make it like with a whole – like with the udders underneath and like a cow head on top of the fish.
Oh, my. So they're like spot on. So like the catfish comes up. It's like meow.
Yeah. There's like a skull fish and it has like a skull for a head. And
I like that. That's
all
fun,
this kind of stuff. It's just a fun, you know, stylized kind of world and all that. Anyway, you have quests. So the bait guy, he's a masturbator. Sorry, I had to get one.
Couldn't pass up.
I had to get one in. He's at the bait shop and he's like, well, I'll tell you what, if I'm going to keep this business afloat, I need somebody to go catch me five of this here kind of fish. And he talks like that. So you're like, all right.
Can you whap him in the head with the rod? Like,
no, but you can buy stuff. So he's got bait and other stuff you can buy that's like better than what you had before. But he'll send you off to this new place. You go and you catch four of the fish he needs. You go back, you turn it in, you get a bunch of money. You get money for every fish you catch. Also, they weigh more. Sometimes you get way more money. You discover new fish all the time.
What can you buy with the money? More gear?
Yes, better and all more right. gear. So better lines, better reels, better rods, all the stuff you get when you're fishing.
So not like soda, like how I do in real life. Because, like, I go catch some fish, I take it to the bait shop, I sell the fish, and I buy a Coke.
Yeah.
That's not how this works.
No, eventually you walk home with a case of Monster. It's not like that. So then he'll introduce some lady at the bait, another bait shop or some kind of equipment shop down by another lake that's now unlocked. You go to talk to her, and she's got all these cool plans that you need to do. So you do quests for her. So you're always doing quests, accomplishing those quests feels real good. Turning it in for money and for XP and all that feels good. It's got a great little loop to it, I think. And I found myself not wanting to quit playing that thing multiple times. Like, just chilling like a villain in this virtual space. Beautiful, sounds great, looks great. Just casting for fish, yanking them in. It's one of the most zen-like things I've done in VR, period. It's so, I love it. I absolutely love it.
Okay, so this is my outside experience fishing. Okay, so I've gone fishing. I live in an area where we fish a lot. We live on a lake. Mm-hmm. We have lots of fishing opportunities. I've been fishing with many people. I have gotten many fish hooks caught into my ear, my face, my fingers. I mean, I've gotten a lot of hooks. And I've learned over the years how to avoid the sudden movements of fishermen, because they look very still. Mm-hmm. And then suddenly there's great big movement and there's a wide area that you have to give that individual. So I'm curious about this, because most VR cases where I'm around people, you can kind of tell they're doing something. Mm-hmm. Whereas this is, have you hit anybody? Because I'm just waiting for you to just, like, you know, you're kind of reeling along real slow and all of a sudden and you jerk up really fast and you hit somebody. Is that no danger yet?
None of that. I mean, they're not giving you any scenarios in this where you can hurt you yourself or anyone else, or hook somebody's ear or something weird like that. You're just on your own. There's no multiplayer, best I can tell. It's just a single player chill experience. I'm now looking at videos, so is the chat, of a version of this that is from the Daydream stuff that Google does. So I guess you can get it on Daydream as well. Makes sense. This thing seems like the kind of game that you could port to every VR platform that you need to have it on. This, in fact, like, I actually think this would work well on mobile, to be honest. You don't even have to have VR to have a fun fishing game. But anyway, you just play and you play and you play, and I don't get bored. I'm not really like the challenges are cool and everything, but I'm also just kind of into the loop of casting and yanking and pulling it in and then seeing how good he is and throwing it back
in. This is the story of fishing in general. Doesn't matter whether it's video games, real life fishing. You just don't know why you're having so much fun.
Right.
But there's something just, it's in our nature, right?
Right.
It's built into us.
Yeah. There's something about it. And, and it's also just got kind of a goofy sensibility about it. It's not trying to be Angler 2018 with the, you know, the perfect sim experience. It's not that. That's not what this game is.
No, but I want to go buy Angler 2018. I got to see if that exists.
I'm sure it probably does. There's got to be some kind of fishing game. Nightmarishly accurate.
Rapala Fishing Pro Series teaser. Oh, that looks like fun. Rapala. Okay, that's too many.
It sounds like a fake. Rapala-lala. Everything you just said sounds not real.
Right.
Hey, Brian, tell me. I have this game too. Goner on the PC. Goner.
Yes.
I have it on. I have this in two places. I have it on the PC and I have it on Switch. It's great on both those platforms. Really good.
Yeah, I figured you would like it because it is a roguelike. Now this is much more like a roguelike.
Up side scrolling. Play till you die, do it again, roguelike.
Yep, platforming roguelike that I really, really liked. I didn't think I would because I was thinking, oh, here's another one of these little indie 2D platformer games that is going to want to be, you know, it's going to want to be something like Meat Boy, but it's not. Mm-hmm. And I was wrong. This is a totally unique experience. And God, I love the music. It's a little older game. It's what, 2015 or so? But it pops up a lot on my little indie bundles that I pick up. I'm always seeing it on there. It's definitely
worth
it.
It might be that old on PC, but it's newer on the Switch port's pretty recent.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the Switch port is definitely recent. I picked this up on the PC. I should have got it for the Switch. I didn't think about that. That's a good point. Matter of fact, I may do just that.
I have it in both places for the same reason. It's a great lay there in bed kind of thing. You can't share saves, which sucks.
Yeah.
But the game itself is real good. It's really weird.
It is so weird, and because you know there's only a couple of elements you have to worry about. You have to worry about if you're basically carrying a few things, at least as far as I've gotten. You've got like a little like a gun that shoots like a goo ball. Like everything I'm going to describe in this game is going to sound but it's, trust me, did I say the R word?
You just
really
used the R word, man. That's something else. I'll have to beep that out.
I'm going
to
go ahead and apologize now. I've told you I've had all these weird words bubbling back up in my head today from like when I was a kid or something.
Yeah,
I don't know if I'm having
a
stroke or something or what. I would like to super apologize.
Yeah,
for
do you smell toast or taste purple or anything?
Right, probably.
All right.
I see the number 3. Is that a problem?
No.
All
it's
right,
okay.
So,
it's the meds.
So anyway, this Goner, 2D platformer. So you've got this bubble kind of gun and it kind of shoots like, but it's not really bubbles. It's more like clay balls and they kind of. And and you're shooting like these devil apparition sprites, right? Is that a good way to describe
it? I don't know
those?
What they're almost like space invaders, but like a hand drawn space invader. They're really weird,
right? But I'm assuming they're kind of like devilish of some sort because you go visit Death, but he's kind of like the devil or something. There's like this.
Well, you poop yourself out of a big like worm colon.
Yeah, and then, you jump back in the colon to travel.
Yeah,
to
that's how you get around. So you fire your weird art or your weird guns. It has really cool sounds. Listen to this. Here. I think I have some sound. Yep. Just this weird, trippy thing. Pooped him out. See those? And now you can see all these little creatures. And your goal is to shoot these guys and not die. And it turns out that's a lot harder than you think.
It is. It is a lot harder than you think. And the jumping mechanic is kind of odd because I haven't quite figured out the timing of it. But when you jump one time and you double jump for that second turn, sometimes a little platform will kind of appear. The platforms in the wall is kind of like are constantly in vision and out of vision. So if you walk to a particular part of the floor, it'll like may disappear. But don't worry, it'll come back, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's all this weird visual things that are going on and all this increasing music. It's just it's very mood.
Yeah. It's an odd game. What I like about it is it's because it's completely procedurally generated. None of these levels are the same. Every encounter is different. Every fight is different. Sometimes they're a little harder than they were the last time. The monsters get creepier and weirder. Your weapons get upgraded. You can do a daily run that even if you've only just started playing the game, it'll still give you like a ton of random cool stuff. And as you unlock these runes, you get further into the game, and then you can unlock more stuff. And anyway, it's all the stuff you expect from a roguelike. But what really sets it apart, I think, is this weird ass style. Like, it's such a strange look.
And sometimes I don't even know what I'm collecting.
Right.
Because there's like these cubes with like these symbols on it. And at first I thought, am I supposed to collect them in a certain order? Is there any type of rationale to what I'm doing right now? No, no, it's not. You just keep jumping and you just keep hitting the walls. I do like how you bounce at the walls. It's a real good feeling game. Like when you hit it, you can bounce off and you come back, and that doesn't always play well.
It's kind of meaty. It has a real meaty, tangible feeling to the character, which I like. And you can kind of do this little slide thing on walls. So when you're trying to kill stuff that's floating, you can slowly sort of goop down the wall. Everything's just made out of, it's almost like it's wet paper. It's really weird.
Right. It's not Meat Boy, Super Meat Boy kind of level, but it's its own thing.
Yeah. So there it is. Check it out. That's Connor. PC version is what you're playing. And it's worth picking up, and especially if you can find it on there. If you have a Switch, it's a no-brainer. That thing will just eat up hours and hours of your time. So it's really, really good. All right, it's time for a little game we call...
It's a Me Mario!
Guess that game! Brian and I bring a game, and we play it, and we try to guess what each other's game is. I don't know what he's got, and he doesn't know what I have. That's the fun of it. It's just like a little contest to see who can figure it out. And we're going to start with mine. Brian, I'm going to try to stump you with this. Guess this game. Any ideas yet?
No.
Okay, I'm going to keep going. There's a little bit more. It's so hits. When it hits me, I know exactly what it is, but obviously I know. Anyway, any ideas? Any guesses?
I can't even say. Ninja Gaiden. I don't know. I'm
chat room's having a hard time. Well, at least one said he can't tell. Crimson Neon says he doesn't know.
For a second there, it kind of felt like that whole ninja kind of ding, like we used to think that's how it used to sound.
Yep, but Last Ninja isn't incorrect. Neither is Fez. They all don't have any idea. It is actually... Now, here's the thing. There were two great versions of this. There was a Sega Genesis version, and then there was the Sega CD version. And the only difference between the two was the Sega CD version had full CD audio. So, real, you know, not this crappy 16-bit cartridge audio, but actual cool audio. And that was really the only difference. I'll give you one more hint. The main character is a mammal.
Main character is a mammal.
Yeah, not an animal. Not a. What's the opposite of it? I guess
it's
not
Kung
an animal.
Fu Panda.
Nope. Chat. This guy in the chat says Strider. Nope. The answer is Echo the Dolphin. That's right.
Oh, well, what?
Echo the Dolphin.
Wow, that doesn't sound like anything. Like I played that game many times, and that's weird that it.
Yeah,
that did not ring a bell at all.
Yeah, it's.
And you say was that the? Was you say that was the CD version?
No, that was the Genesis version. So that was the cartridge version. And it is known for being the sound was the main thing. It just sounded beautiful, whereas the cartridge version was just real, you know, 16-bit and kind of terrible.
Right.
But I loved that. I thought it was awesome at the time because I wasn't used to games going kind of this artistic way. It was all Mario and Sonic and beat 'em ups and side-scrolling monster games and whatever. And they just never really delved into something that was like different or unique. And this was kind of peaceful and it was fun to like swim and chill and whatever. I mean, there had its action-packed moments, but for the most part, it was this just really interesting kind of quiet experience. So anyway, there you go. Echo the Dolphin.
I'm watching the video, and I remember the visuals, but for some reason, I remember a different music with it. What is that all about?
Here's some... Let's see what...
My brain is disconnected today. I don't know what's going on.
See,
now, that sounds familiar.
And you always had to go talk to those... crystals and they would tell you stuff.
Now that feels like it for me.
You had to get out of here and say, and for whatever reason, that weird sound we heard earlier on the sound clip was all the other ocean animals had gotten sucked out of there, almost like Aquaman came and said, "You're out," and just sucked everybody out of the ocean. And so now you're just basically on your own with a bunch of evil stuff trying to figure out what happened. That's my memory of the story. I don't exactly remember, but
yeah,
it was something like that. But it was just an interesting scrolling, almost like a Castlevania Metroid sort of experience that nobody else was doing anything like this. And I just thought it was
nobody. Bad. I remember that it was kind of a big joke for a little while. And then it was kind of like, wow, this is awesome. Mm-hmm. So it was like, it went two ways. Cause when I first started, I was like, a dolphin game. That's
yeah. I just watched the part where he has to swim past an octopus with a big arm and you had to just go really slow to not die. I mean, it's very Sega, like everything about it just screams Genesis sound and all that, but it's a cool game, man. Definitely worth checking out if you haven't played it in a while. If you have a Genesis, want to fire that up, or you have other ways.
Yeah.
Okay, Brian, I'm going to push play on yours. Let's see if I can figure it out.
Do it.
I have no idea what this is. First time hearing it. Prince of Persia?
You're in the right idea.
All right. Aladdin.
There you go.
Oh, is it Aladdin?
It's Aladdin. Yeah.
I can't believe I got it. I never get this stuff. Are you kidding me? That's fantastic. Yeah,
I picked that up off. I played Aladdin. I didn't mention it in my notes because I didn't want to give it away.
Yeah.
But I did play Aladdin. It was from the Internet Archive recently posted. You know, they occasionally have an emulator, right?
Yeah.
And so they have some old ROMs and things that are available. So archive.org had just recently had a huge dump into their PC ROMs. And one of those was Aladdin. I was kind of surprised to see Aladdin in there. I was like, really? Disney's not liking a freak out? And I'm like, oh, yeah, let me play it for a minute. Oh, yeah. I guess there's not, you know.
Dude, this game was great, though.
And it was a fun game. Yeah. It was one of the few, you know, one of the few IP products out there that was actually a fun game.
Yeah, it was awesome. The Earthworm Jim guys make it or something, or some. No. Maybe it was the Super Star Wars guy. I don't remember. There was there was some lineage there. There was like an impressive team was working on it or something. And I mean, it's a platformer like everything then, but it's mm-hmm. I don't know. I thought it was awesome. I loved that game.
I loved it. And there's quite a few games. I'll post this into the chat room as well on the archive.org. It plays it right in the browser. I usually use the keyboard, but you can use a controller and other such things as that if you have the ability to do it. Let's see. There is Aladdin. There also was a couple of them, Prince of Persia. I want to go back and play Oregon Trail Deluxe.
Oh, wow. Look at you with the Oregon Trail. Yeah, why not?
Yeah, and they got the original as well. Oh, look at this. They got a Pac-Man. Why would you want to do that? I don't know.
Well,
but they did have the 4D Prince of Persia. I actually thought about that as well, but I said, got to go with
Prince
Aladdin,
of Persia,
right?
Sands of Time. That's one you want to play.
Right?
Yeah,
and that's they've a great got game. Disney's DuckTales, The Quest for Gold.
Yeah.
Jazz Jackrabbit. You remember that piece of crap?
Oh, yeah. It was an old... the person who made Jazz Jackrabbit is in the news today.
No, what?
Yeah, it's funny you should bring that up, but we'll talk about him. But here in a minute. Like these are. I have fond memories of all this.
Did you play Cool World?
Yeah, I love Cool World with a stupid spot.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Like the 7-Up game. No, that's Cool Spot, not Cool World. That's different.
Cool. Yes, that's totally different.
What am I thinking of?
Totally different. Do you remember Ski or Die?
Yeah.
I don't.
I remember Skate or Die.
No. I remember Skate or Die, but I don't remember that one.
No, Skate or Die was actually called 720 Degrees, and then it was just had the Skate or Die guy yelling.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, one game that I was always jealous, I had a Commodore 64 growing up, VIC-20 Commodore 64. I had a friend who had an Apple, and there was only one game that I was ever jealous of, and it was the Karateka.
Oh, Karateka, dude. We called Karateka. It Karateka.
Right. You're probably saying it right. I just called it that way, so the way it's spelled. But I used to go over to his house to play that. It was, Borderbund was Broderbund. How do you say it? Broderbund?
Broderbund is how I always said Broderbund. It, but I don't know if that's right.
That right. Could be right. Oh, man.
How do you spell Karateka? Yeah.
K-A-R-A-T-E-K-A.
Karateka.
And that was like the most, it just had so much story and so much reason to play, unlike any game I was playing at that time. It just seemed like
it was awesome in its time.
It was awesome. And the sprites, man, the sprites.
Yeah. So these guys, was it these guys that, I can never remember. There's some lineage here where the guys who made Karateka or one of those kind of games, here's some sound. He's just fighting a dude.
Yeah.
Well, this would have been a good guess my game. But anyway, then you beat the first guy, you run to the next guy, and I want to say it was the rotoscoping tech here that went on to either do Prince of Persia or they went on to make, like some of them went on to do like that. Oh, what was that called? Shoot. A Genesis and SNES games, two of them. Out of This World was one of them, and the other one was, frick. I went to Software Etc. at 6 a.m. to get that thing, and I can't remember the name of it now.
Right.
Anyway, when it launched, but.
What am I looking at here? I'm looking down, I've scrolled through, and I'm down to Entity, and it is like, why is there a lady with, like, ample bosom?
Because that's what people do.
And all of her pixelated goodness.
Because that's what people do. That's the internet, man. Welcome to it. It's a great time to be alive. all right. Well, there's that, everybody. I hope you enjoyed it because, hot damn, I can't find the link. There it is. Well, that's not working either. Let's try it this way. Oh, my gosh, chat room, you jerks. Okay, fastidiot, or however you say it, fastidious. Right? Says, wow, I remember this game. It's giving me flashbacks. The game I was thinking of is Flashback.
Oh, nice.
You know the one I'm talking about.
Yes.
Flashback, Genesis, Super NES. There's a revamped version under something on Steam. Anyway, wow, freaking loved it.
Super Huey and Choplifter, all those games.
Dude,
oh,
Choplifter was so much fun. Yeah, I've been playing a game on my phone kind of like Choplifter. It's called...
Lift Copter.
It's called Choppa.
Choppa. I've seen that. Is
you
that
should,
good?
You should play Choppa. Yeah, it's like Choplifter. I mean, it's a little more... I don't know. It's a little less... So Choplifter is all about flying lots of distant places to pick up 20 dudes and flying back and not die. This is a little bit more puzzly, like, get over the crane and be careful not to knock over the thing or get on the fire. Now pick the guy up and bring him back and put him down. It's more puzzly, but it kind of gives me that vibe. I like it. All right. The news for today. This is the one big news story that we should probably mention. Cliff Bleszinski has stepped away from video games.
No.
He says Boss Key Productions is no more. Now you're thinking to yourselves, what? How can this be? Boss Key Productions, known most recently for its game that didn't do well called Lawbreakers, kind of came out in a very post-Overwatch world and got creamed by Overwatch. And basically that's what that game was sort of trying to compete against. Bleszinski, of course, known for stuff going all the way back to the Unreal games. Certainly Jazz Jackrabbit, as you mentioned earlier, was one of his first efforts. And he went on to work on the Gears of War games and all that stuff. He's knows video games, been around a long time. I talked to this dude once because I used to do an Unreal mod and was kind of like the media guy. And he did a little interview with me and he was really nice.
Aww.
He swore a lot. Like Tarantino movie a lot.
Nice.
But all that being said, I guess they just couldn't make it happen. Game designer Cliff Bleszinski, co-founder of Boss Key Productions and a major force behind development of Gears of War, is stepping back from games to focus on himself and his family. In a statement posted on Twitter this afternoon, Bleszinski said that Boss Key, the company he founded, is effectively no more. 4 years ago, I set out to make a world-class video game studio, and I hired some of the best talent in the video game industry. They worked tirelessly to produce quality products, and we had our ups and downs. Or though we had our ups and downs, I'd like to think we had fun doing it. Lawbreakers was a great game that unfortunately failed to gain traction, and in a last-ditch attempt, we scrambled to do our take on the huge battle royale genre with Radical Heights, which was well received. However, it was a little too late. This thing just barely had like open beta, like test stuff, like a week ago. So this is all super sudden. But also the writing was a little bit on the wall. So I feel bad. I'm sad. You know, bad timing is what this is. It's not that you can't make games.
It's a tough market out there.
It's just a competitive, tricky thing. Like, I haven't heard much about Quake Champions either. But they got the endless pockets of Bethesda behind that, so they probably aren't shutting that down anytime soon. But you know, when you're kind of a small studio trying to make it work, I could see how you get crushed by all the big boys. I mean, how are you supposed to compete when your former boss's Epic Games have the most popular game in the world right now? Other games like, you know, freaking PUBG and that kind of stuff, they're just eating your lunch. And then Overwatch, you couldn't get out Overwatch. It was impossible. So it was just a monumental task, bad timing. If this was 10 years ago, these guys would have owned it.
Yeah.
You know?
Agreed. Yep.
So it makes me feel kind of bad. But anyway, there you go. I haven't played Quake Champions yet. I hear good things about it, but I haven't heard about it in a long time, so I just don't feel like it's much of a scene grabber right now. Like, I look on Twitch, how many people are streaming that right now?
Right. So that's the question. Are we at a place now where niche is fine? I don't know. Niche is fine, right?
Niche is okay. Niche is always good.
Will it work out though? Yeah. So,
well, you know. I don't know. That's a good question. Let's see. I'm looking on the just to check the Twitch Quake Champions page. I mean, it's a thing. If I go browse for games, I mean, it's not even going to be in the top 100, I don't think.
Probably not.
So, yeah, it's just I'm telling you, man, this is a hard bit of business. Video games and competition in this space, rough. Like, how people are making it work at all is a grand question indeed. All right. Well, I think that does it for that. Oh my gosh, hold on, I'm just looking at some of these games. There are more people playing Super Mario Brothers 3 than there are playing any of the games we just mentioned.
No. What you gonna do, man? It's just how it is.
Kind of a bummer. Yeah. Well, whatever. Twitch isn't your only barometer either, but 200...
There's so many more. There's got to be. I would like to see the actual numbers of gamers versus 5 years ago. Number of people actually playing games.
Oh, it's through the roof. It's through the roof. Yeah. State of Decay 2. Does that come out today? I want that game.
We got that big old news leak this past week from Canadian Walmart. Is that right? The Canadian one where they leaked all the...
Yeah, it's where they're always sorry up there in Canada.
Oh, so sorry about that, eh?
Yeah, sorry about the bad price on the oranges, eh? That's what they'll tell you. Look at this. Fortnite, 260,282 viewers. League of Legends, 102,934. PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds at 75. Overwatch at 52. In Real Life, which we are currently a part of, 46,225. And then finally, Hearthstone at 44,165, followed by Dota 2 with a little less than that. With Dota 2 slipping.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Ah, what you gonna do?
Video games. They're complicated, turns out. That's it for that news. Sad news, but we'll see how it goes. Hey, we got time, though, for an email, I'm sure of that. Came to us from, Justin from Humid, Arkansas, who says, Scott and Brian, I think we have all done it at one point or another. You end up buying the same game multiple times. My number one offender is Skyrim. I bought it twice for the PS3. Why, though? That's weird. Once for PC and once for PS4. Well, two for the PS3? Why would you even do that, though? Doesn't make
two
sense.
PS3s? I mean...
Oh, is that why?
Maybe?
Maybe, but I don't get it. Anyway, says, out of curiosity, what is the other game, or the one game, you and gentlemen have bought the most over time? Justin in Humid, Arkansas. Well,
I know what mine is.
Skyrim's right up there for me. I think I'm on my fourth Skyrim.
Right.
But my number one bought again game probably Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time.
That's a good one.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that's mine. What's yours?
I gotta say that I've bought the Age of Empires every freaking edition they've ever had of anything ever.
That's right. You are a huge Age of Empires fan.
Yeah, it's like, hey, you know what? We got a new HD version. Sweet.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? We got a new thing over here. Sweet.
Right. You're into it. Did you get the whatchamacallums? The extended edition or whatever they're called?
Definitive edition?
Yeah. Did you get that?
What do you think?
I think you probably got it.
I probably got them for $10.
Yeah, well done. Well done indeed. That's fantastic. I don't have a problem with this. This is great.
I think it's great. I was trying to think of what other games I buy. I'm kind of stingy when it comes to, you know, buying. If I have it on the PC, it's not likely I'm going to buy it on the PlayStation 4. I may. The Switch has probably been one of the few games that's kind of tempted me to buy in multiple places.
Same. So, I've done that now. I've done that 3 or 4 times now where it's usually small stuff like $7 to $15 a game.
Right.
But
right.
it's some cool game that's just great on a portable platform like that.
Yeah.
Goner being one of them. So yeah, I'd be curious. Send your emails into us. Let us know what kind of game you've bought the most and how many times you bought it. We'd love to read them on the show. Boopshow@gmail.com. That's boopshow@gmail.com. And thank you very much, Justin. I hope it gets less humid where you live. I think that's all we got today. Hey, a reminder, folks, if you want to be a part of the show and submit stuff and do cool things, frogpants.com/BOOP. That's frogpants.com/boop. We'll be back next week with a brand new show. In the meantime, send us your emails, boopshow@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter, @boopshow. Brian's at the Brian Dunaway. I'm at Scott Johnson, and you can find our Reddit page at boopshow.reddit.com. A bunch of changes happening on the Frog Pants site. You may or may not see them yet. I don't know. We're sort of working through the details. But soon you'll see some moving of furniture. Shouldn't affect the Boop Show at all, is the goal.
No, I saw the film sack moved over.
It had to, because the other one got hacked and destroyed. So the Boop Show was already safe, and it wasn't much of a sight to begin with, but that's kind of the point. Anyway, that's going to do it for us. Brian, anything you'd like to say before we cut tail and run?
Look forward to me talking about spoilers of God of War next week. You've been warned. You've had plenty of time.
Spoilers, you can say.
We,
all right.
Can we do spoilers?
I don't know. Yeah. I need to play more, I guess, so I can talk spoilers.
Well, yes, so you can spoil it. You got to know what to do to spoil, right?
Yeah, I don't want you to spoil me, of all people.
Right. All right, we won't do spoilers. But I will tell you what, God of War, I'm going to play some more of this next week.
Yeah. Boob forms. TBZ gone. I'm coming after you there, buddy. All right, that's it. Thanks, everybody, for being here. We'll see you next week. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com. What the hell is that thing in your eye or whatever? What was that?